One good thing about being an anomaly is that you never have to worry about getting your Schwartz twisted. This is the Anomaly Podcast, and we're about to go straight to liquid speed.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I've been streaming TNG like a madwoman. And I am also an anomaly.
I'm Angela, and
nobody knows the trouble I see.
And I am an anomaly.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
I didn't know I could do that. That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. She's a bass. Oh, man.
Well, if you haven't guessed, we are doing a review of Spaceballs, Mel Brooks' spoof.
A lot of people just, like, didn't want to comment.
Gosh, it's like, it was like pulling teeth to get people to comment.
I'm kind of sad about it, but after watching it, I kind of get it, too.
Yes, it was very difficult to watch. It's not my favorite movie, I have to say.
I mean, it's fun.
I guess. It's one of those drinking game movies, although we didn't think about it until it was over with.
I was drinking anyway.
I wasn't drinking enough to enjoy the movie, sorry.
I guess that's part of it. Most of you know that Mel Brooks movies are meant to be spoofs of something. Before they started making scary movies and not your average teenage movies, there was Mel Brooks movies,
and there were some pretty good ones.
He makes good movies. I really like History of the World, Part 1, and I like Blazing Saddles. I mean, who doesn't like Blazing Saddles? That's pretty hilarious. And I even like Men in Tights. I think Men in Tights is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Some people think that it's just a Star Wars takeoff, but they also make fun of sci-fi in general, including Alien. They even have stuff in there from Star Trek.
So Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. So it's definitely multi-genre.
Mm-hmm.
And general self-referential humor, silly humor, Pizza the Hut, commercial humor, that kind of thing. So it definitely does a lot of different things and just makes fun of people in general. I think it makes fun of the 80s a little bit. So where do you want to start?
Well, why don't we play some of the comments from our listeners?
Okay.
And take it away, Mids.
Printing out emails, printing out emails, printing out emails. Here come the emails being printed out.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast and Martian Creative. So you're doing the brilliant 1987 film Spaceballs. So as I've already said the word brilliant, you'll be relieved to know that I really like this film, unlike the last one you did, which was E.T. And I don't think we need to say any more about that, do we? So what do I love about this film? Well, I actually saw this at the cinema, so that's a great reminder. And anytime I think of a film that I saw at the cinema when I was younger and enjoyed, it always brings back happy memories. Although I haven't seen it in a long time. I think it's around about 10 years since I saw it. But it's one of them films where as soon as somebody says a quote or as soon as somebody mentions, a scene in it, it all comes flooding back. Mel Brooks, for me, is a genius. This was probably his last good film, if I'm honest. I'm a huge fan of Blazing Saddles. Young Frankenstein is a film I absolutely adore. One, obviously, because of Gene Wilder, but two, because Marty Feldman's in it. Mel Brooks, for me, could do no wrong in these films up to this one. I love his humour, and I love his the way, as is common with a lot of Jewish comedians, they really don't mind taking the fun out of themselves. It's always in there. Let's face it, the Schwartz is an obvious in joke. Mel Brooks is brilliant at stuff like that. He can laugh at himself and he can laugh at anything. John Candy as Barth. I think everybody loves John Candy. There's films John Candy has done that will last forever. Planes, Trains and Automobiles, Uncle Buck. You know, these are films that you can put on any time of the day and always find yourself laughing. It's such a shame that he was robbed at such an early age. You know, Canada's finest export, along with maple syrup, people say. I love John Candy, and of course he was in one of my all-time favourite films, The Blues Brothers, which I'm going to be doing soon. Rick Moranis, you know, another actor who I think is brilliant, and it's such a shame that Rick Moranis retired from acting after the sad death of his wife in 91. He has done the occasional voiceover work, but again, you know, you forget how great, you know, these actors are. Bill Pullman, soon to star, of course, in the new Torchwood series coming soon, made by a joint venture between America and England. Michael Winslow, who always stands out in my mind for being Corporal Jones, being a Constable Jones in the Police Academy films, always like that. But what I also like about Spaceballs is the in-jokes. There's nods to Star Wars, obviously. There's so much nods to Star Wars in this, with Lone Star, Dark Helmet, Barf, you know, Pizza the Hut, you know. There's a political joke for that, but that's beside the point. But like Joan Rivers, who does the voice of Dot Matrix, you know, obviously you're not there to see 3PO. But one of the in-jokes I really like is Alien with John Hurt. And he has the alien burst ahead of his chest and go, oh, no, not this again. Star Trek connection, of course, is Tim Russ, who we know as Tuvok in Voyager, who plays a trooper, early film for him. I really do like this film. Everything about it is fun. It's a great fun film, and I really can't wait to hear your take on it. I know full well that as soon as I've heard the podcast, I'm going to be going out and buying it on DVD. I should buy it now, really. But no, I think I'm going to wait until I hear you talk about it. Anyway, as always, love the podcast. I'm so glad that you're back on track with bringing more out. Let's face it, I think all your listeners would like to have one a week, but knowing what podcasting is like, it's impossible. Anyway, speak to you both soon, and take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You made some great points, and I will not make fun of you this time for liking Spaceballs.
I defended you last time. I'd like
Mads and I haven't met eye to eye on these last few movies we've reviewed.
Oh, especially this one, I guess.
Yeah.
I have a special place in my heart for this because my mom really likes this movie.
Yeah.
For some odd reason, she really likes Mel Brooks. And it's strange because if you met her, she doesn't really seem like the Mel Brooks type, but she does. She has a very silly sense of humor, mm-hmm. which makes me like her even more. And she's my mom. What can I say?
I'm sad you didn't get a comment from her.
We'll try to get one, but I doubt.
If we do, we'll insert it here. Mm-hmm. And then Casey also did a review.
Oh, good.
Take it away, Casey.
Hey, Jen and Angela. This is Casey. I wanted to send a quick comment about Spaceballs, the Star Wars spoof as done by the legendary Mel Brooks. It's not his best film. That is the first thing I'm going to say. But, you know, it is just a fun, silly film that you can turn on and not have your brain work at all. My favorite part about this film is how many legendary comic actors he got to participate, like the late John Candy, Joan Rivers, Rick Moranis, who probably gives one of my favorite comedic performances in this, and I think he's the scene stealer. He's kind of the prototype Dr. Horrible, where he's a nerd trying so hard to be evil, especially when you're trying to be as evil as Darth Vader, but I digress. I think one of my favorite bits is, you know, just the lightsaber fight where they're killing cameramen, their sexual innuendos all over the place. It's just absolutely silly. It's not, you know, it's not as thought-provoking as Monty Python can be. It's not, you know, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg films. It's not Abbott and Costello. It's not even Mel Brooks' older works. But, again, it's an enjoyable film. Young Frankenstein is just much, 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 much better than that. I can't wait to hear your opinions on Spaceballs, and I will talk to you later. All
right,
bye.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com.
Thank you, Casey.
Yay.
But we also got some Twitter comments. You want me to read some of them?
Please do.
Anyway, I asked all of our Twitter followers if they liked Spaceballs or if they didn't like Spaceballs and why.
Okay.
And so Rick Dude responded with, "What's not to love? Ludicrous speed, Schwartz envy, the singing chest burster." Is there a chest burster?
The chest burster.
Okay.
The alien. At the end.
Oh, that guy.
Hello, my Annie. Hello, my baby.
Hello, my ragtime gal.
That one.
Mog as his own best friend. Merchandising. Thank you, Rick Dude. And then Gareth316 says, "Love the movie. Wish he would do one based on the prequels." I would watch.
That's too low-hanging fruit. Like, it's just, like, it's too easy to make fun of.
It would
prequels.
Be hilarious. I wish he would.
You're right.
And then also he said, "Dink, dink, dinky, dink, dink." And then Toxic Death said, "Spaceballs is awesome with so much quotable material. I really need to rewatch it. May the Schwartz be with you." Okay, and then Katie, who goes by Kid KJ? Kid KJ? I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce this. "Spaceballs, the flamethrower. The kids love this one, and so do I. Not the only reason, but one of my favorite lines. I'm a pyro." And Ellie77 says, "Spaceballs, love it. Pizza the Hut, and use the Schwartz, LOL. John Candy and Rick Moranis are hilarious." And then Butterfly Amanda said, "I love Spaceballs. I consider Mel Brooks like an American Monty Python." How was it that Meds and Kel were saying Monty Python?
Oh, Python.
Python. Okay, I'm going to read it like them now. "I love Spaceballs. I consider Mel Brooks an American Monty Python. They have catchy jokes and make you laugh your butt off. Thank you to everyone who sent in audio comments and responded to us via Twitter."
Thank you.
Thank you. And if there were any Facebook comments, I'm sorry I missed those, but okay. It's best to email us or send us audio comments, but Twitter's okay too.
Okay.
All right.
Well, so I learned a few things while watching Spaceballs.
What did you learn?
One of the things is if you're going to have a victory sip, you have to sip cool water instead of hot coffee. I've learned that.
Through Spaceballs.
Because he spits it out.
Yes, I saw that.
Because he tries to take the victory sip and then it gets hot and he has to spit it out. So that's that. Also, I enjoyed the Joan Rivers character, who's also the R2-D2 character. Not R2-D2, C-3PO character. And her name is Dot Matrix, which I thought was cool.
I like the fact that she was a prissy robot.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that was funny that they made 3PO's spoofed character into a prissy kind of like
maid.
Nanny, yeah. Mm-hmm. With a, what is the alarm?
That's a
virgin alarm. Yes. Yeah, and if you haven't seen this movie, which a couple of our listeners had written to us and said they couldn't send comments because they haven't seen it yet, mm-hmm. It's probably a rated PG-13 movie. There's some profanity. But there's also there's a lot of bathroom jokes and mm-hmm. balls references. And
how,
you know,
could ever that be?
Yeah. A lot of what you would watch in America's Funniest Home Videos happen in this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, people getting kicked in the nads and fart jokes. Yes.
Yes. I like the bumper sticker on Lone Star's Winnebago. "I love Uranus." So that's pretty good. And we couldn't read the whatever's on board. I think it said Mog on board.
Yeah.
But I couldn't read it.
What was the one on the back of the spaceship at the beginning of the movie? We Break for No One. It looks like a Star
Alien.
Destroyer, mm-hmm. but it keeps going and going and going as it's passing over the camera.
Yes.
Never-ending spaceship.
A little obnoxious.
Yes. Well, the whole movie's a little obnoxious.
Well, that's true. Another thing that I noted was Princess Vespa, who has the earmuffs, the, you know, that look like the Princess Leia buns, and mm-hmm. that's pretty cute. And also Pizza the Hut, which is really gross.
It is.
Like, Russell was sitting on my lap when we were watching that part, and I was like, eh, that's a little, I don't know. That's a little scary. Almost scarier than the actual Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. So,
anyway, I bet this was intentional, but Lone Star is kind of a combination of Harrison Ford. Well, he's Harrison Ford, but it's kind of a combination
of Indiana Jones and Han Solo. Wearing a members-only jacket.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And in the 80s, that's definitely something people would. Mm-hmm. And what year did you...
1987.
Yeah, that's definitely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So...
There was a lot of, like, hair band music being played.
Yeah. Also, I noticed there's no vacuum of space, evidently.
No.
In this part of the universe.
It's a Mel Brooks comedy, so anything goes.
They didn't worry about spacesuits when they went from ship to ship. I thought that was really interesting.
Poor Barf had to carry the luggage.
All the luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very silly. So there's just a lot of puns and silliness in this movie.
Some of them are really stupid.
I like the part where they comb the desert and one of them has a pick. It's pretty funny. Lots of penis jokes.
Yes, penis jokes.
I like the self-referential humor, like when they get the Spaceballs the movie cassette.
Yes.
And then they fast forward to the part where the movie is happening at the same time.
Which is ironic because we were downloading from iTunes to watch this movie and it wasn't completely downloaded yet. And we were able to start from the beginning and watch it before it finished downloading. And they hadn't finished filming the movie, but they were able to watch their VCR tape before it finished. And I like the whole, like, the time paradox thing that was going on.
Oh, we looked up the word putz.
There's a couple of meanings for the word putz. One of them means idiot. The other one is another penis insult.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. There's a lot of penis jokes. Like, his tie is even a penis joke.
The whole stupid Barbie joke where he has the two dolls that's pretending that's one
funny.
Is Princess Vespa and one is him, and, oh, your helmet is so big.
So big. Yeah, that's true. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. And I like that Ludicrous Speed turns space plaid.
That was kind of dumb.
I like it. I thought it was silly. I don't think we're being very good today.
No. What is it?
Maybe we should talk about Futurama instead.
But we had all these people do the Spaceballs
thing. We've talked about Spaceballs.
Well, we're not done yet.
We could waffle on.
Yeah, we'll break into Spaceballs later.
Or Futurama. I don't think it's as bad as we think it is.
Okay. Well, I thought there were a lot of stupid jokes. Let me list them. You listed the ones you like. Let me list the ones I hate.
Okay.
Yoda is a gold guy named Yogurt.
Yes.
And they had, like, this grandiose name for Yogurt. And he says, no, I'm just plain Yogurt.
Blech.
And the combing the desert, I didn't like that.
That's my favorite.
And there's a big statue in Yogurt's monastery. And Lone Star is practicing with his ring, which is like the equivalent to the Force. And he's lifting it, and it falls on Barf's foot.
Mm.
It's like every other Bugs Bunny cartoon I've seen.
Yes.
All the covering the privates. Because at the beginning of the movie, when Dark Helmet was upset, instead of choking someone, he used the ring and, like, lasered someone's crotch. So every time he gets mad, everyone covers their crotch.
Maybe if you were a dude, you wouldn't understand.
I understand. It's just not funny.
I see.
The Barbie doll joke wasn't funny to me either. But, you know, there were some funny parts. The code to the planet that was the equivalent of Alderaan, which was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I also like the guy with the timpani. The big drums. Yeah,
and then he gets into the escape pods
before them.
That was a weird scene, too, because I was trying to figure out what... I want to give Mel Brooks more credit that there was something going on there that I think was a little deeper. The president was trying to escape, and the ship turns into, like, a Voltron-type robot, which is shaped like Lady Liberty, and all the escape pods were coming out of the spikes in her crown, and he was fighting people for an escape pod, and a bear gets into one of the escape pods that the president, which was President Scroob, he gets in one, and the bear is already in it and wraps his arms around him. Russia is symbolized by a bear.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and it was 87.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had anything to do with that. I don't know.
Maybe
I'm
Maybe you're reaching.
Reaching.
But maybe you're
giving
not.
Him a little more credit than he deserves. I don't know. I mean, which is
it's
sad.
It's a silly movie.
It's very silly. This is far below the young Frankenstein mark.
It's really not as good as I remember it being, to be honest. And so here we are. You know, that's why we have these.
But I feel bad because it is a classic, and it's a spoof of Star Wars, and technically we should like this movie.
Technically, yes.
And a lot of our listeners do, and many of them were women, which I was surprised by.
Hmm.
Because this is really guy
humor.
I would
definitely watch it again.
Would you?
I mean, it's a silly movie.
I think I would skip it.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Well, are you going to tell them what else I made you watch today?
We watched an episode of Futurama.
Because I made her.
Because you made me.
Because you haven't seen very much.
I love Futurama, but I...
You had never seen this episode called Problem with Poplars.
That was what you were quoting last week, or last month when we did our episode on E.T.
Yes.
At the very end, if people will fast forward to the end of that episode, you'll hear kind of like an Easter egg of Jim and Angela doing lines from that episode of Futurama.
Yes.
Which was hilarious, even though I had no idea what y'all were doing.
In the episode, they find these creatures that are yummy to eat on this planet, and then... and they call them poplars. And then about halfway through the episode, they find out that it's the Omicronian young. And the Omicronians are like this big lizard species that has declared war on Earth like several times, but we always seem to get out of it. And stuff happens. And it sounds really silly when you talk about it, but it was pretty hilarious. And at the end, they, in order to exact vengeance for all the young that were eaten, they come to an agreement to only eat one human, and they decide that it's going to be Leela because she's the first one who ate their
Which
young.
Is ironic because she stood up for
and
them.
And she did stand up for them.
But she was the first to eat them.
But one of the most hilarious things is there's these hippies, and they're protesting. They're like PETA. The acronym is MEAT, M-E-A-T, which is hilarious. But anyway, they teach a lion to eat tofu, and the lion's like...
It's sickly.
And at the end... he somehow makes it so that they try to trick him into eating a monkey instead of Leela, but the hippie goes and saves the monkey, and there's all this strife. And so finally at the end, basically the big lizard guy eats the hippie instead. And of course the hippie, as we all know, is completely drugged up. And so then the Omicronian is like, dude,
I think there was something in that hippie.
My hands are huge. Anyway, and then the whole thing happens. But if you have Netflix and you've never seen Futurama, go to Futurama. Season 2, Problem with Poplars. Hilarious. Anyway, it was pretty funny. And I made you watch it.
They have some pretty good jokes in it. I like the one about Roddenberry's.
Oh, yes. They're on the planet. It's a Class M planet, so it must have at least it has Roddenberry's.
Mm-hmm. They were looking for food.
Yes.
And that's what they were looking for.
And that's when they found the thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
Okay. Let's talk about watching Atlantis for the last time. Go up and what that was like.
All right. Well, I have to admit that Atlantis didn't really...
Well, I'm not talking about the liftoff, just the fact that it's the last mission, period.
Well, you know
how it doesn't do anything for you. I mean, you're not upset about that?
I am upset about it, but I also think that there's a secret space program that's doing much better than the one we know about.
Let's talk about it, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I just have to think that. I know it may not even be true, but I have to think that somehow, somewhere, somebody is keeping this going, even if we don't know about it. It sounds like a conspiracy theory, and maybe it is, but I kind of don't care. It's embarrassing to me. Like, that's kind of why I've turned it off, is because it's so embarrassing to me that the space program is essentially ending, and I'm embarrassed for the United States, to be frank.
Because we'll be hitching rides to the International Space Station on a Russian rocket?
No, I mean, I can see...
No offense, Russia, it's just, you know...
No, I can see your point on that, especially when you speak historically, but it's not really even that. It's just that I think that JFK would be embarrassed. I think Gene Roddenberry would be embarrassed. all the hopes that we have depend on the idea of us being able to explore space. And I think that our hopes have hit a, unfortunately, have hit a glass ceiling of some sort. And it's unfortunate to me. And watching the last space shuttle go up, like, it makes me sad, but it makes me indifferent. Because I feel like everybody's just given up. And I can't do math, so I can't help. So
yeah.
It makes me sad.
It made me sad too. I was glad to watch it with everybody in the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't watched anything that important since 9/11, you know, watching all the coverage of, you
in
know,
general,
the,
yes.
the disaster, at work. But, I have to believe that there's something else going to happen. I mean, they say this is not the end of the space program. It's an end of the chapter of the space program. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, they haven't unveiled the next step, you know?
Yeah, there's no future. It's all 60s future.
It's like, okay, the shuttle program has ended, ...
Yeah.
There's no...
It's suspect.
Chapter 2 or 3, I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and I know that they're trying to privatize space travel, but
whatever.
You don't really see anything going on with that either. Mm-hmm. There were those competitions a few years ago, you know, Virgin Air and a couple other companies and millionaires, billionaires got involved in trying to
mm-hmm.
privatize, you know, build aircraft that could make it to space, but nothing has come of that.
No.
Nothing. So, what's the next step? I don't know.
I don't know either.
What should happen is we should get to a point where we've created warp drive and the Vulcans can come discover us and we are welcomed into an intergalactic community.
But to that point, though, maybe we as a race just aren't ready yet. I mean, we're still having a lot of infighting. I mean, I hate to be all philosophical, but there's still a lot of, you know, I watch, as most of us have been, I've been watching TNG on Netflix, and they were kind of offhanded talking about, they had come in contact with a culture, and they said, oh, much like Earth in the XX century, and how, you know, they were still having land disputes over how to cordon off resources or how to use their resources. And it's just like, when you look at it from like a TNG perspective, it's just... the normal everyday workings of the world seem so silly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can we ever get there? How can we ever get to Gene Roddenberry's ideal? I don't know if it's possible. I mean, it's definitely not. I don't think it's possible in our lifetime, no. Definitely. And it's just, I know I seem silly for thinking that it could be that way, but I think it could.
You're an idealist, and right now... we're not being given anything to look forward to, so no. It's kind of hard to be optimistic.
It's almost like a modern Dark Ages.
I agree. You know what's what the problem is?
What?
The government.
It's the government, man.
Big Brother. They should not be in charge of the space program.
Yeah, and you're probably right. And maybe it's good that private companies. And again, I really do believe that somewhere, somebody has this in their brain. You know, somebody's got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe someone's being born right now that's going to figure it out. I like to hope.
I would like to think that Aaron is one of those people.
I love Russell, but I don't think he's one of those people.
He's a musician.
He's probably a musician.
Yeah. My baby's a technical baby. He likes buttons. He turns on the DVD player. He turns off the DVD player. He ejects the DVD player's tray. He hangs on it. And then he goes looking for other buttons around the house.
Mmm. Very
He exciting. Likes buttons.
That's funny.
You know, it would be awesome if we could talk to some astronauts about this. And if anybody knows how to get a hold of Sally Ride, I would love to interview her and ask her what she thinks the future of our space program is. But I have yet to find a way to do that. I've looked online. I've contacted her foundation. Nobody's gotten back to me. I don't know. So if there's anybody out there listening and you know of a way to get in contact with any, not just Sally Ride, but any astronaut that could comment on this. We would love to talk to them.
What's...
No, I love how you just shrug. Meh.
Well, I just feel like we're not that important, but...
What?
It would be really cool. I think it would be really cool. I just wouldn't know what to ask them because I'm not smart enough to talk to an astronaut.
Well, you just made a very good case right now why most of the people who are following this launch were kind of upset that it was ending.
Mm-hmm.
I would like somebody to inject a little optimism into me about what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And I think they would be the best people to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're basically in the field. I mean, Dr. Ride, she has a very worthy cause right now in trying to interest girls in science.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just have an interest. She's always been a hero of mine. And when I was growing up, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Me too.
You know, I remember watching I remember seeing the first shuttle.
I do too.
And
well, not the
being,
first.
I was
your first.
I was very young at the time, but I thought that anybody could ride on it because I had a coloring book. There was a Sesame Street coloring book that had a shuttle. It was a shuttle with all the characters from Sesame Street and a bunch of windows looking out. So in my little youthful mind, I thought that anybody could ride on the space shuttle. Mm-hmm. And I was very excited about that. And then my great-grandfather told me I was going to be the first woman in space. And that didn't happen because of Dr. Ride. But I was very enamored with her after that. I thought she was awesome because she was the first woman in space. So, anyway, I'm yammering on. But I think this part of the episode is a lot better than the Spaceballs portion of the episode.
We do what we do. What can we
do? We should do a little bit of an intro to this to transition from the disgusting baseball.
No, I think it's fine. If they stick
topic.
With us through the Spaceballs, they get this as a present.
You know, balls is a theme this month. Because... Anomaly Supplemental, our little sister podcast, is doing an episode on Labyrinth, and Sue emailed me to ask if it was permissible to leave their reference to David Bowie's Magic Balls
hilarious
in the podcast. Well, you know, technically he did have a magic ball. And yes, it could leave that in.
And some tight pants.
And some very tight pants and some scary-looking makeup.
I don't know, I thought it was
And some
hot.
Big rocker hair.
Next time on Anomaly Supplemental.
You remind me of the babe.
What babe?
Babe with the power.
Power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
Do what?
Remind me of the babe.
We are talking about Labyrinth. Jim Henson's Labyrinth from 1986, celebrating its 25th anniversary.
I love this movie, so there are things about it that I hate, but I only love to hate them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like she's suddenly inside a fairy tale and is totally okay with it.
This girl who allowed herself to be the victim at the very beginning of the movie basically becomes the hero at the very end.
Sometimes you make the absolutely correct decision in life, but you still end up in a crappy situation.
Something you give it power by believing in it over and over again, and you almost want it to happen, but then when it does, it's actually horrifying.
There are whole new levels to this movie, baby.
Again, I thought it was
so hot. You thought it was hot?
I did, because I remember the first time I saw that movie was like in the sixth grade, and I don't know. But we've had this conversation before. I like vampires and shit like that. Oh, stuff like that. I'm weird.
So you're down with that?
I'm totally down with creepy David Bowie coming into Jennifer Connelly's bedroom and being like, hey, what's up? Want to be my princess? You know, I'm cool with that. It's a Goblin King. And you know who was choreographer for that movie? You really don't
know? Oh, wait. Gates McFadden.
Gates McFadden.
I knew that.
Yeah. Oh, and I referenced earlier that TNG is now on Netflix. It's like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Me too.
And like, it was just, I don't know. It, and I don't want this to turn into a TNG episode, but I just love TNG so much. I feel like a little kid when I talk about it. And then now that I watched Encounter at Farpoint and like two other episodes last night, and like more now that I know more about space and more about the actual astronomy of it and the science behind it, some of the things that they are talking about, I understand a lot more about like where they are in the galaxy and how they perceive everything and what warp drive is and how far they're actually going. And even though my human brain can't really wrap around it, I have a little more understanding now, and I think I'm enjoying them. It's almost like I'm enjoying Star Trek again as an adult. And so I'm getting this chance all over again. And even though I have them on DVD, it's not the same as, you know, night-night.
He's going to close it fast.
Oh, he's going to close it. Russell, please listen as Russell closes the door fast. Wait for it. Oh, it'll be worth it. Worth it. Now, Russell, close the door fast. Thank you, baby. Anyway, so, and I was trying to explain, it's like just watching any episode of Star Trek is like going home.
That's true.
It is.
Unless you're watching the next Worst of Trek installment in our series, which would be Genesis. Where
really?
Everyone de-evolves, and then you're like, holy...
Is that what you figured out what it's called?
Mackerel, this episode.
Good Trek. We need to do a good Trek eventually.
We do. Please, let's do a good Trek.
I think we need to do the episode we talked about Rascals. We need to do Rascals,
yes.
You're
going to compare it to the Futurama episode where all of them turn into little kids.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's okay.
All right. Let's put this one to bed.
All right. You can talk to us online.
Yep. You can go to our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Go to Facebook.
Group or fan page.
Please like us.
Please like us.
And you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is at anomalypodcast, all one word. You can email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com.
I think that's it.
That's it.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge. It's okay, Jen.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap. Anomaly is created under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license. Say that three times fast.
Hey, Guildies, this is Kenny from Knights of the Guild podcast, the official fan podcast for the award-winning web series, The Guild. I'm here with some really cool news. Not only are we still continuing our regular podcast, microcast, and minicast, we've now added companion casts. A companion cast is a podcast that coincides with a new episode of The Guild and will take you behind the scenes of that specific episode. I was fortunate enough to be on set for the filming of Season 5 and got exclusive interviews with cast and crew as they finished their scenes for that day. I also sit down with the creator of The Guild, Felicia Day, as well as the producer, Kim Eady, and the director, Sean Becker, and get insights into the workings of this fantastic web series. So when you're finished watching a new episode of The Guild, be sure to go to knightsoftheguild.com and download the companion cast for some fun behind-the-scenes information.
I have a lot of dreams. Not that anyone else knows. After all, visions are the work of demons. No, I keep the dreams a secret. Save some livestock and a crop or two, and aren't I the wise one? The village women ask me how it is a man like me isn't wed. I had another dream once. Shadows, in the shape of men, swinging blades of silver from the horses of war. And everywhere the flames, and death. This dream will come true. They all do. You want to know why I live alone? Women tend to take it badly when they're awakened in the middle of the night by screaming. My name is Lucas.
visit LastGuardiansNovel.com. Subscribe to the podcast for behind-the-scenes info, cast interviews, and more. Follow the author on Twitter at Indiana Jim. Stay tuned to meet other characters like this one and discover who will be the last guardians against the tide of destruction that is to come.
Hi, I'm Al.
And I'm Joyce.
And we're huge Disneyland fans. In fact, we love the place so much we started a podcast dedicated to the happiest place on Earth. In our show, Tales from the Mouse House, we'll discuss some news and updates on the Disneyland Resort, reveal some amazing little-known and often overlooked gems we call hidden treasures, and we'll also review some of the rides and attractions that make the Disneyland Resort so much fun.
And we'll review some places to satisfy your hunger attacks, as well as offer up some tips and tricks that we've uncovered over the years that can help you get the most out of your Disneyland Resort vacation.
So, if you can tear yourselves away from the amazing Anomaly podcast, check out Tales from the Mouse House.
In iTunes. So, am I an anomaly?
What do you think?
Well, I am different, right?
Right. Okay. I mean, yep, you sure are, dear.
This is Jeff from Champ Podcast. After you finish listening to this excellent podcast, I invite you to come listen to ours. My co-host Jason and myself cover open-wheel auto racing, focusing on Formula One and IndyCar. Each podcast, we review the races, we talk about the drivers and teams, and all the news and rumors as well. So come give us a go. We can be found at www.champpodcast.com, that's with one P, or in iTunes, search Champ Podcast. Champ Podcast, the world's fastest podcast.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
So Ghost infected Frank. He passed it on to the other guys and I got it from his corpse? Right.
Hello, Echo. How are you feeling?
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
Previously on Heroes.
You had to go and be the detective, didn't you, Matt?
I'm not an aggressive person, but...
Ugh, man, there's just way too much on all these channels.
Things, but only in-game.
Everybody lives Rose. Just this one. In your dreams, Nutloaf.
Bite my shiny metal hat.
Sometimes I get visions.
Walter, what are you doing? Watch and learn.
I wish there was some way to find out what's really worth watching.
There is.
What? Who? What was that?
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the viewer's guide to genre television.
Where is that coming from?
With its spoiler-free quick reviews and water cooler and the spoiler-filled in-depth back porch discussions, Tuning into Sci-Fi TV is the only resource fans need to know what's on, what's good, and what's coming soon in science fiction and fantasy television.
How did you get into my house?
Join Kevin, Wendy, and Brent each week for the latest in genre television.
I'm calling the police.
You can find Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
No, seriously. How did you get into my house?
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the Politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy, and we are the hosts of Take Him With You,
the weekly podcast where we discuss life at the Geeky Moyers home, and then we talk about our faith and how it relates to the world around us. As a matter of fact, we love listening to the Anomaly podcast. It's way cool. Jen and Angela, you guys are just awesome. Or girls, I guess. They're girls, aren't they?
Yeah, and I appreciate geeky girls because I'm a rather geeky girl myself.
I wouldn't be married to you if you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I love Star Trek and heavy metal music and fun things like that.
I like reading and home and garden TV and quiet things, soft music.
Too bad.
Yeah.
But we do live together, and we have for almost 24 years.
Yep.
We're married.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a chance, come take a listen to our very fun weekly podcast. You can find us on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And
it's at takehimwithyou.com.
Yes, you're doing very well, honey. Keep going.
Okay, that's all it says. You can find us at takehimwithyou.com.
Or you can get us on iTunes as well. So okay. Do that. And thanks again, Jan and Angela, for your great podcast. Hopefully everybody will come check out Take Him With You after that.
Hello there, my name is Meds.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
All right, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the Mark.
All right, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move up on that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at http://waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
Attention, attention, it's finally here, the first and only podcast dedicated to one of the most groundbreaking television series in history, MASH. Join the hosts of MASH 4077 Podcast, Kenny, Meds, and Al, as they discuss their thoughts episode by episode. They will also share with you some little-known behind-the-scenes information, trivia, and so much more. Find them on iTunes by searching MASH 4077 Podcast or online at www.mash4077.podbean.com.
8 years on from Firefly, 5 years on from Serenity, you still can't stop the signal. Striding like a colossus into the new decade, conquering new...
That's a little over the top, don't you think?
Well, I guess, but he's right. We're still here.
Just not quite so much with the striding. Walking confidently. How's that sound?
Fine. Just as long as the signal stays a podcast all about Joss Whedon's Firefly and Serenity.
Oh, no question there. We're continuing to explore the verse, same as we have for the last 5 years.
But this year, with some new crew, new articles...
new interviews, new features...
and a new website, a new forum, and a blog.
But still at the same old address, www.serenityfirefly.com, and still coming to your MP3 player every 2 weeks.
Plus, we've got lots of our regular segments like News from the Verse, Broadwaves, The Terraformers, and Feedback.
And we want you to join us.
The Signal.
Helping to carry on building the Browncoat community.
It starts here.
The Signal.
The End.